أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد. ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد. ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد. وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد. لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد. وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد. ألقيا في جهنم كل كفار عنيد. مناع للخير معتد مريب. الذي جعل مع الله إلها آخر فألقياه في العذاب الشديد. قال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد. قال لا تختصموا لدي وقد قدمت إليكم بالوعيد. ما يبدل القول لدي وما أنا بظلام للعبيد. يوم نقول لجهنم هل امتلأت وتقول هل من مزيد. وأزلفت الجنة للمتقين غير بعيد. هذا ما توعدون لكل أواب حفيظ. من خشي الرحمن بالغيب وجاء بقلب منيب. ادخلوها بسلام ذلك يوم الخلود. صدق الله العظيم.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. You just heard in the recitation of the Quran Sharif just now. يوم نقول لجهنم هل امتلأت وتقول هل من مزيد. Meaning that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He will do two things. One is those people that are going into Jannat, Allah Ta'ala will send them into Jannat. And then when there are no more people left to go into Jannat, Jannat will be asked, are you full? So definitely Jannat will say that no, there's so much of ni'mats which are still not going to be used. It's very, very spacious. There is no limit to the number of people that I can still accommodate. I'm just giving you an explanation. So then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will create a new makhluk and put them into Jannat. Another makhluk Allah Ta'ala will create to fill up Jannat. They will be those people who haven't done any ibadat, zikr, tilawat in this world. They didn't come to this world at all. That makhluk will be created on that day and it will be filled up into Jannat. Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh when he was teaching this Hadith Sharif, so one student said that I wish we were of them. He said, I wish we were of them, that we didn't come to this world and we went straight into Jannat to fill up Jannat. So indeed it seems to be a very good request, and it seems that this person, whoever requested that, in our hearts also it would have come the same thing, that we wish we were just put directly into Jannat and we didn't have to do anything in this world. So there's nothing wrong with that kind of a wish. But the Ahlullah, the people of knowledge, the people of understanding, the people of great caliber, they look at things in a very different light. So he replied, said that hum to wo tamanna nahi karte, because he said that if a person hasn't done anything and he goes straight into Jannat, or he is created, a makhluk is created in Jannat, or put into Jannat without having seen anything of the outside world, without having gone through any kind of test, trial, he said, "The fir us Jannat mein maza hi kya hai? Where is the enjoyment in that?" Because the person doesn't know what was other than Jannat. Those who came to this world, so they had to make a mujahada, they had to make namaz, fast in Ramadan, give zakat, stay away from haram. All their life they have been making mujahada. So now when they are going to go into Jannat inshallah, then there will be real excitement, true enjoyment. Like the person who hasn't seen sickness in his life, so what does he know what health is? He appreciates health because he knows what sickness is. Because we know how people suffer when they have sicknesses, diseases, when they've got pains in their bodies, they can't walk because of arthritis, or their liver, lung, kidney, heart is not functioning properly, or their sight is failing, their hearing is defective. So when all these things happen, then the person appreciates health. So health is only appreciated when there is something like sickness. If there is no darkness and is all the time bright like this, then we won't appreciate this light. We won't enjoy the light. Like nobody is enjoying the light now. We'll say this is something that happens every day. This part of the day we get bright light. But if there was total darkness for a number of days, total darkness, and suddenly after that you get the light on, then see how we appreciate it. In our homes also, when the light has to go off just for a little while, then for a person who is living in a village where they live by candlelight, those villages in India, Pakistan, even here in our townships and many other areas or farmlands where there's no lights and the people are living by candlelight. So those people who are living by candlelight, to them it won't make any difference whether your light came on or went off. It makes no difference because to them that is light. But to the person who's, although he's got candlelight, he wasn't deprived totally of light. The electricity supply went off, so the lights went off. But that did not mean that he was deprived of light altogether. He still had some candle, he had some lamp, he had a torch. But even then there is that restlessness, there is a kind of a restlessness. And as soon as the light comes on, there's a kind of excitement and happiness. Although the person had some form of light, but still, doesn't it make us happy? As soon as the light comes on, it is as if Eid moon was seen, excitement from every room, lights came on. So why is that excitement? Because of the darkness. So everything you appreciate by knowing the opposite. Kufr and shirk, we understand from this, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the one hand is not razi with kufr and shirk. Allah Ta'ala is not happy with kufr and shirk. Na'uzu billah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He can't be happy with kufr and shirk. But He created kufr and shirk. Allah Ta'ala is the creator, is the khaliq. And that shows His greatness and His kamal, that He created kufr and shirk. Because if there was no kufr and shirk, then what was the test in Iman and Islam? If there was no kufr and no shirk, no darkness of disbelief, then there was no such thing as a person has attained some greatness if he's got Iman and Islam. Then there was no mujahada required for Iman and Islam, because this person is, there is no such thing as kufr and shirk. So the creation of kufr and shirk does not mean that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, na'uzu billah, is pleased with kufr and shirk. It is a different thing altogether to be pleased with it. An example of that comes to mind is that of a prison. That if you don't have a prison in a city or a town, then we will say that that town is incomplete. We will say that that town, the facilities of that town are incomplete. Why? Because there's no prison in town. You understanding? That if in a town or city there's no prison, then we will say that the city, the facilities are incomplete because there's no prison. So the government will make a prison in town or in the city. But because of that prison, does it mean that they are happy with crime? Just because they built a prison, does it mean that now we have built a prison so we are very happy, we all must now start stealing and burning and looting so that we can fill you up in the prisons and feel happy? Nobody says that. But if there is no prison, then the person is, or we say that the facilities of the town are incomplete. In the same way, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not create kufr and shirk, then we would have said that those who brought Iman and those who have Islam, there is no mujahada that they made, there is no test that they went through, there is no kamal in that, because there was no such thing as kufr and shirk. So because of the kufr and shirk, you appreciate Iman, you appreciate Islam. Now these days when we look at our lives, we say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, Ya Shukr, Ya Ihsan. You could have made us also from amongst those people who don't believe in you, from those people who are rejecting you and your Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the life after death and day of judgment and all those things. We are blessed with this Iman and Islam. It is your great Ihsan and your Fazl. So we appreciate it because of that. So Allah Ta'ala is the creator, but He's not happy. He sends the Quran Sharif, He sent the Anbiya and the Awliya and the Salaha and Mashayikh and Ulama'i Haq and different means Allah Ta'ala created so that the person accepts Islam, retains his Iman, and he doesn't go towards kufr and shirk. And if he is in kufr and shirk, then he comes out. So this is what sometimes confuses people. They get into doubts that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala could have made everybody Muslims, could have made everybody believers. Yes, Allah ta'ala made every child born on fitra, nature. It was natural for the child. If the child is not given any kind of bad environment, if the child is not brought up by the Majusi, by the Yahudi, by the Kafir, by the Mushrik, if the child is kept away from any outside influence and allowed to grow, then as the child is growing, it will be only natural for the child to question and ask that, where did I come from? Who gave me eyes? Who gave me hearing? Who gave me speech? Who gave me health? Who caused me to grow from that babyhood stage to this stage of life? Who is it that blessed me with all this intelligence? So even if he doesn't have too much of details of other things, but this much will come in his mind, that there is some creator and I must worship that creator. Then it will lead that child to then inquire who is that creator and how must I worship him. So that is nature. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّذَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجَّسَانِهِ The parents make them either Yahudis or they make them Majusis, fire worshippers. So it's the environment that we create for them. Although Allah Ta'ala creates them, all of them on fitra. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will create on the day of Qiyamah a makhluk whom is going to put into Jannat without having done any amal. Why? Because that Jannat will say, I'm still empty. The Jannat's ni'mats are still not being used. Sufficient people haven't come into Jannat. And all those who had to come came away. But still there's so much. Allah Ta'ala has got so much in Jannat. So Allah Ta'ala will create this makhluk and put them into Jannat. So I was telling you that that student said that I wish I was one of them. So this Shaykh Kamil, he said, no, we don't wish that. We are happy that Allah Ta'ala sent us to this world and we went through the mujahada of namaz, of zakat, of roza, of hajj, of ibadat, of tilawat, of staying away from all the haram, all the mujahada that we had to make. So now when we will go into Jannat, he said, there will be an enjoyment. If a person is on a journey, the more distant the journey, the more tiresome the journey, the more difficult the journey, the more enjoyment at the destination. When the person arrives and he gets a good comfortable room, and he reaches his home, he was coming from a distant place and he reaches his home, and now he's got the comforts of his home, so the more the enjoyment. So this makhluk will be put into Jannat to fill up Jannat. The same question will be asked to Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam. This thing is just coming into mind with the tilawat of the Quran Sharif that you heard now, one of the ayats, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will question Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam also. Halim talati, are you full now? So look at the reply of Jahannam. Hal mim mazid, are they more? Are they more? Send them in. My fire and my chains and my azab, there's still so much. So send more fuel. And the fuel of Jahannam going to be human beings and stones. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was once going to Allah Ta'ala to make kalam with Allah. He was Kalimullah. So he was going onto the mountain. On the way he saw in with his kash, Allah Ta'ala had given the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam a kind of kash. That he saw that, or mu'jiza, that he saw a stone crying. Now we will say that how can a stone be crying? Now there are many things that are happening, but we don't see with our eyes. So this stone said that the fuel of the fire of Jahannam is going to be stones. So therefore I am tearing that I must not be part of that fuel. Stones and human beings, so which stones we don't know. So I must not be part of that. Again here we must not misunderstand. It doesn't mean that now all the stones that you find, you can't use it for anything because it could be crying. That it mustn't be part of Jahannam. So how can you be using those stones? That was a special kashf Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave to that Nabi for that particular stone. Otherwise we don't know which stones Allah Ta'ala will be putting into Jahannam. Even in this world, we don't use all the stones for the wood and coal stove. Those who've got wood and coal stoves, do they use any kind of stone in there? Or do they use charcoal? So there is different kinds of stones. So this stone, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, I will plead to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for your forgiveness, that you must not become part of that. So So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went and came back and informed the stone that you are not going to be part of there. Then he started crying again. He said, why are you crying now? Say, I'm making shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that you made me that stone which is not going to be part of Jahannam. So now I'm crying in shukr. He said, we must take lesson even from those stones. Because even the leaves of the trees, the Quran Sharif tells us, kullu shayin يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَاكِلْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Everything makes the tasbih of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But we can't understand their tasbih. The leaves are making tasbih. Flowers are making tasbih. When the water is flowing, it is making tasbih. That's why when the water becomes stagnant, then you get a stench. When the water is flowing, it's making a kind of tasbih, so there's a freshness in it. And let that water stagnate, and after a few days you'll find mosquitoes there, and you'll find stench there, and if you have to drink that water, then you get bilharzia. So the flowing water was making zikr. The waves of the ocean, when they are flowing, they're making zikr. We don't understand the zikr. Go to the parks and listen to the birds in the mornings. Without a shadow of doubt, a person who's got iman, he will understand that they are making zikr. Different forms of zikr. An early part of the morning, they're chirping, you can see it is nothing but zikr. In fact, some birds, if you listen very carefully, in certain jungles, if you listen to it very carefully, you'll hear Allahu, Allahu, Allahu. Different forms of zikr they are making. We don't understand the zikr. And you find all of them start chirping at that time. Bala insan tum kyu chup rahe ho? This person says, chuniya chun chun kar rahi hai. चिड़िया चू चू कर रही है भला इंसान तुम क्यों चुप रहे हो. दिस चू चू दैट दिस वर्ड्स आर मेकिंग, दे आर मेकिंग जिक्र ऑफ अल्लाह ताला. दे डोंट इवन हैव द अकल दैट यू हैव. दे डू नॉट इवन हैव द इंटेलिजेंस दैट यू हैव. दे डोंट हैव द नॉलेज दैट यू हैव. दे डोंट हैव दैट रिकग्निशन दैट यू हैव. देन ओ यू मैन, ओ यू ह्यूमन बींग, तुम क्यों चुप रहे हो? After listening to them chirping also, you can't get the tawfiq of saying La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Listening to these birds chirp also, you can't seem to be getting the tawfiq of making zikr. So he says you should drown yourself in shame. Take a lesson from these birds. So they all are making zikr of some kind. We don't understand the tasbih. So Jahannam, when it will be questioned, Halim Talaati, it will say, Hal Mim Mazid. Are there more? One alim, in one of the discussions with one person about the Quran Sharif, so this person was saying that must prove that it is the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So there are many different ways of proving it. So he said, alright, you tell me that if I have to describe something that is very, very vast, very, very big, then what words will you use to describe it? So this person, who was a master in rhetoric and poetry and everything, so he said, well, I will say the very vast area. Every word that he could think of with giant and vast and huge and all that he used. So he said, is that the description that you can give now of the fire of hell? If you have to say that the hell is very, very vast, very big, massive. So he gave all the words that he could use. Then he said, now look at the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif says, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. The day we will tell to Jahannam, Halim Talaati, are you full? Jahannam will say, Hal Mim Mazid, are there more? No matter how many you will put inside, you will say, are there more? Now look at that description. Are there any more? describing its vastness. That after the billions have gone in, there will be still any more. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will then place his foot, his heel, and Jahannam will say, right, qat, 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 now I'm full. Now this heel of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, again, people read the Quran Sharif, when they come across hands of Allah Ta'ala, heels of Allah Ta'ala, or any other, the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, hearing of Allah Ta'ala. So immediately they start creating images and pictures of what that Allah must be like. That is where the nations and tribes and many people went astray, like the Hindus and some others, in their faiths, when they saw that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how can be one Allah doing so many different things? The Qudrat and power of Allah, now they wanted to show the power of Allah Ta'ala. So we know that strength and power lies in the hands normally. So the person wants to show that the Allah Ta'ala is very powerful and he can do a lot of things. So they gave him a lot of hands. Then he said that one Allah cannot be doing so many different things, giving health and giving life and giving wealth and giving children and giving so many other things. So now they cooked up that image that no, there must be many, many different Allahs. So they created one Allah of health, one Allah of wealth, one Allah of happiness, one Allah of sickness, one Allah of this, one Allah of that, and went on. So the Quran Sharif, wherever it uses these type of words, then it refers to the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the Tajalli of Allah Ta'ala, the Noor of Allah Ta'ala. But for our understanding, because that is what we understand, Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif to make it easy for us to understand. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ So Allah Ta'ala made this Quran Sharif easy for us to understand. So there these words are used in different contexts. But it doesn't refer to any body part of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So it means this tajalli of Allah Ta'ala will be cast and Jahannam will say, now I'm full finished. So the question is that why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, for Jannat He created another makhluk and put them there. For Jannat, He didn't put His heel and said, right, are you full now? And Jannat would have said, qat qat. For Jahannam, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala didn't create another makhluk and put them into Jahannam. That shows Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's adal and justice. That to give somebody a gift, to bless somebody with something that is precious, that is valuable, something that the person didn't work for, by way of gift, then no person has any problem with that. If there is somebody that has worked for you, and that person deserved that, for that piece of job that the person did, he deserved 1,000 rands. Now when he finished that job, or even he didn't finish that job, he just worked half the day, supposed to be a one day job, but he didn't even finish that job. But you tell that person that, never mind, don't worry, take 5,000 rand and go. So is there any problem with that? If a person worked less than what he should have worked, but you give him more than what he deserved, then does anybody have any problem with that? Everybody will say, mashallah, this person looks to be very big-hearted, that the work was less, or he didn't do what was supposed to be done, or his salary which was fixed, he's been given much, much more than that. So the person will say, there's nothing wrong with that, that is showing the generosity of the person. But if a person worked, he completed the job, and he was deserving 1,000 rand now for that piece of job that he did. Now you say, no, take 500 rands and go. As many people do, that they make the person work. He goes all round the country and brings all this orders, and after having gone through all the rigors and tests and trials and difficulties, now when he brought all the orders, then he says, now where's my commission? So they say, no, well, business is not so grand now, so you can take a little less. So they will deprive him of the fascia. Or sometimes they even go on to other kind of extremes too. One person says that he goes around, brings all the orders, then this manager or boss, he will phone directly there. He'll tell him, no, at present we don't have it in stock. He gave the samples in the first place. Now when he brought the orders, he said, we don't have it in stock. And after a week he will phone him and he'll say, do you still require the goods? We have got the stocks now, so we'll send it over to you urgently. So that person will say, yes, I'm waiting, I want the stocks. That's why I placed the order in the first place. So now he will send the stocks. Now when this person who brought the order asked for commission, he says, no, but I did the deal directly with him. I supplied it directly. When you brought the order, we didn't have stocks. So they think they get away with these type of things, but if any person uses his intelligence, he knows that this man, if he didn't go to that distant town and city or place and go and bring that order, where would this person have known that he's in need of these goods? Yes, if that person phoned directly to him and said that I supply me with ABC, and there was a kind of an agreement and an understanding that if we supply directly to any customer from here, even though they may be from your area, but if we supply directly and the order has been placed directly to us, then they won't be commissioned for you. But if you go and bring the order, or if they phone and they say that this order, whatever the commission must be given to you, so then after that this person is bound to give that. So what I was explaining was, what were we talking about? Adl. So if a person gives more than what the person deserves, we'll say that's ihsan. So here look, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala could have created another makhluk for Jahannam also and say that you people, you're going to Jahannam and burn there. So if they ask that, Ya Allah, why must we burn in Jahannam? What sin we committed? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala didn't do that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he adopted a different method. So this was a student who said that, I wish I was one of them that goes into Jannat without having done anything. So there, that Shaykh Kamil, he said, no, we are looking forward to Jannat after the hard life that we have spent, all the mujahada that we have made, all the restraining that we did from all the haram and all the sins and all the ibadat that we made. So now we are looking forward to that. Now we will enjoy Jannat. What will you enjoy if you had been one of those people that were just born in there? So يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is not putting us through all these tests just because He gets some kind of enjoyment and pleasure in it. Again we come back to what I was discussing earlier, that Allah ta'ala created Jahannam, but it doesn't mean He is pleased with people going into Jahannam. Allah ta'ala created kufr and shirk, but He's not pleased that people must commit kufr and shirk. Just as that prison which is built, it is not so that people may commit crimes and go into prison. So now how does a person get easily into Jannat? How does a person get to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and get into Jannat? So for that, there are different ways. But the easiest way is the sohbat of the salihin. Qari Sahib recited that ayat coincidentally again. Or as I say always, there is no such thing as coincidence. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever wills happens. So now let me connect it to whatever I was going to say to you. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O ye people, fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala say, daro. I've explained this many times, what this fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala means. It's not like the fear of some lion or cheetah or some vicious dog or some terrible animal, or fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which is born of his love, that the person is fearing the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah who has blessed me with all these ni'mats, I must fear his displeasure, because if he becomes displeased, he can take away all the ni'mats. So the person who has got love for someone, he fears his displeasure. And that displeasure is not because of that person being some kind of a zalim or something of that nature. That fear which is for the beloved, the person has a fear that I must not displease the beloved. It is a different kind of fear. The person is always on guard that I must not say something that will displease. I must not do something that will displease. Those who have taken bayat with some mashayikh, or those who have asatizai kiram in the madrasas, in darul ulooms, or those who have parents, or those who have anybody senior that they respect and they love also, then there is also that fear that they must not become unhappy. If a person really understands, for example, the rights of his parents, now the person will be afraid that I must not do something that will displease my parents. If he loves his wife and is fulfilling the rights of the wife, so then he will also be concerned that I must not say certain things which is going to hurt the wife. And if the wife loves the husband, then not that the husband is some zalim, so therefore she is on guard, but just because it's a husband and he's got rights, so she doesn't say things which will hurt the feelings of the husband. So all those areas where the person is, controls his tongue and controls his actions out of fear of causing displeasure, because that person is beloved, so that is born out of love. In the same way here, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who can be more beloved than Allah ta'ala? Could I even be speaking to you if Allah ta'ala didn't bless me with the power of speech? And could you be listening to me if you didn't have the power of hearing? Or if the person was blind, then could he have seen what is happening here? So much ni'mats, 24 hours of the day Allah ta'ala is giving us. So we should be fearing his displeasure. We should not do anything that will be displeasing to him. So the way to do that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that how will it become easy for you? Ittaqullah. How will this taqwa become easy for you? Kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Sachcho ke saath, sadiqeen ke saath. And sadiqeen is the muttaqeen. So join them, become of them, adopt their sohbat, stay in their company, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make this taqwa easy for you. Mujhe sehle ho gayi manzile ke hawa ke rukh bhi badal gaye, tera haath haath mein aa laga to chiraag raah ke jal gaye. My destination became easy for me. Mujhe sehle ho gayi manzile ke hawa ke rukh bhi badal gaye. The storms which were coming of all the different fitnas, they changed their direction also. As I mentioned about that young person yesterday or the other day, told me about how they were planning after Ramadan to go on a high with drugs, but just one or two majlises here and finish. He says all that planning is over. So what made the person change that? It is that sohbat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, by means of which, make those storms change the direction also. The fitnas that are coming, they change the direction. The winds blow in a different direction of that. Hawa ke rukh bhi badal gaye. The wind was coming and everybody was excited that now this wind will blow away our roofs and blow away our homes and blow us away too. And then the person got the hand of a righteous, pious, muttaqi shaykh or some Allah wala, and the storms change the direction. Ki hawa ke rukh bhi badal gaye, tera haath haath mein aa laga to chiraag raah ke jal gaye. When your hand came into my hand, then the light came on the destination. All the lamps came on, the lights came on. That means the darkness also, the veil of darkness was removed Now the person could see light, he could see nur, he could see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tajalli. He now understood what is the marifat of Allah ta'ala, what is the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala because of that. Even if the person is an alim, is a mufti, is a qari, whatever he may be, he too also is in need of sohbat of a shaykh kamil. Because knowledge is something and amal is something else. And knowledge, there is an explosion at present of knowledge, so much of knowledge. But why is it that that himmat to make amal is not coming? But then how long must you remain in that company? Khalituhum, stay with them, join them, become of them. How long? Until you become like them, until you get those sifats in you. So those people who don't benefit, it is because their sohbat and the company has been very short, or that when they are in the company at that time, they are not fulfilling the rights of rifaqat. Hasuna ulaika rafiqa, that companionship, there must be honesty in it, there must be truthfulness in it, there must be goodness in it, there must be a kind of a commitment in it, that the person has adopted this sohbat, so now what, for what? Not for any other reason except that so that those sifats come into me. A beautiful example of that, there was a truck that was parked off in one garage. Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Damat Barakatuh was in one of the cars with our Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuh, and they stopped at a garage to fill up petrol. When they stopped at the garage to fill up petrol, one huge truck came. Now the truck had 250,000 liters or 50,000 or 100,000 liters, huge truck, whatever quantity of petrol was in that truck. It came there to fill up some petrol. That truck, which had so much of petrol in the tank, it came and parked at the bowser there to fill up some petrol. So now these type of trucks we see every day filling up petrol somewhere, but we never took any lesson from it. I'm talking about those who are Ahli Ilm, those who are Hafizes, those who are Ulama, those who are Qurra, those who are in Tabligh and Dawah, those who are in Deen, those who are Namazis, those who are Deendar, whoever has got Taluk with Deen. Now we don't take lesson from them, because we all claim we got knowledge. So he said, look, this tanker that came here, it's got thousands of liters of petrol on its head, but it also has to fill up some petrol by the sheikh to allow it to move and to allow that petrol to be of benefit to others. It needs some petrol in its own tank too. Now that own tank, that petrol, if is not there, then it won't be able to benefit anyone. So this person also, he may have plenty of petrol on his head, but if he doesn't have the sohbat of the mashayikh, then it will not be able to make amal. So this ayat of the Quran Sharif, which was being discussed, now there, to remain away from Jahannam and to get onto the road to Jannat, the easiest route is this, the sohbat of the salihin. Make a person a friend for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. A learned person, a person who has the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, and who is making amal also himself on it, and he has got the salahiyat of making islah, then that makes our journey very easy. It makes the journey easy. Because a person tries to do it himself, sometimes he gets lost in the jungle, he doesn't know where he went. So many people, they open up kitabs, for example, of wazifas. Now if you have to look at the kitab on wazifas, there's so many wazifas. Now the person starts reading one way all the wazifas. Next thing is dehydrated, and then he starts seeing flashes in his head. He thinks it's tajalli, but in the meantime he's gone off his head. But he tells people, I saw the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala, but his brain cells have dehydrated. So he's seeing all kinds of things now. Sometimes in a different world, sometimes is imagining other things. So now if he has a Shaykh Kamil, the person will balance it. No, this much. The fruits like apples, oranges and all other fruits, they are very good. And every doctor will tell you that they've got vitamins, they've got this, they've got that. It's all very good for health. But now because a person reads in some book that oranges have got a lot of vitamin C and apples have got these vitamins and that vitamins, so he brings 10 kilos of oranges and he put 10 kilos of apples and a couple dozen bananas and all he eats one time, what's going to happen to him? They got vitamins, no doubt. They are healthy food. But if he eats so much one time and if he collapses and he becomes a candidate for the graveyard, so then now will you blame the doctor who said that there's vitamins in that apple or in the other fruit? Will blame him that he overate. So like that in zikr and also all those hadiths and everything, there's no doubt, lot of benefit. But how much to do? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept this i'tikaf of yours and all what I've been discussing for the benefit of the people who have been in i'tikaf. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must accept it. Tomorrow we won't be having a program because we've got that Salat al-Kusuf in the mornings, solar eclipse. So we'll occupy ourselves in a little bit of namaz, some zikr, some ibadat, and engage ourselves in du'as as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us to do until it clears up, or major part of it clears up. All the other fairy tales you mustn't believe in. From since last night and from this morning also, there have been so many calls about going outside, and the woman who's pregnant mustn't go even outside, and she must make sure that during those 2 hours they mustn't slice any onions, potatoes. Or so I say, then our iftar will be delayed tomorrow. Those who are in the habit of cooking early morning, so the iftar will be delayed because they can't chop the onions for the samosas. So those are all fairy tales. They've got nothing to do with the reality. Yes, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says it's a sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Look at that mighty sun just shining like that, and suddenly Allah ta'ala brings the earth in between and it turns dark. So we take lessons from that. And what if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala decides that now it must just stay like that, finish, and darkness sets in for all times? So it is His qudrat, His power. So whenever there's anything of great power or great sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that's what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did, that get hastened towards namaz, ask Allah ta'ala for protection from any kind of harm, because many things happen when this eclipse takes place. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of participating in that, and Allah accept your i'tikaf, Allah ta'ala accept your du'as, Allah ta'ala accept your ibadat and zikr and tilawat that you made in the i'tikaf. And the remaining 1 or 2 days, Allah ta'ala give you the tawfiq of fulfilling the rites of the i'tikaf, so that when you come out, then you come out with a clean and a purified heart, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك.